Welcome, 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 and thank you for choosing to listen to our Blackburn Rovers podcast, Kidder Street Noise. Before we get into this week's episode, can I please ask you to like, follow or subscribe on whichever podcast provider you are listening to this episode on? It really helps the podcast and would mean a lot to both me and Lewis. If you want to get in touch with us or you want to be a guest on the podcast, then you can reach us on Twitter at KidderSTNoise. Feel free to DM us on there or reply to any of our tweets or your questions and we will get back to you. Again, thank you for choosing to listen to our podcast. Now let's crack on with this week's episode.
Yes, we are back with another episode of Kidder Street Noise. As always, I am joined by my brother, Lewis Hayne. Hello. You all right? And we've got another guest for you this week, a different guest. I am joined by a good old friend of mine, Beth Singleton.
Hello.
How are you, all right?
Not so bad, mate, yeah.
Right, so to start the podcast, before we go on to Luton and the international break and all that crap, I've got a bone to pick with you. Yeah. So in the summer, we were talking about season ticket prices, Waggett, we were complaining about everything before Thomason got unveiled.
Yeah.
And I was moaning that the home kit hadn't been announced yet. And this was every day of the summer, like we were last to do it. And you said, yeah, still not seen it. And then that afternoon, Rose uploaded a video and you're the first person on the video modelling the home shirt.
Yeah.
How did that even come about?
Well, I've recently moved up to where I live. And one of my neighbours works at Rovers, and we got quite friendly. And obviously, I love it because you've supported Rovers all my life. And yeah. When she's worked there for 30 odd years, you know, and we're always chatting and about Rovers. And she come to me and said, "Do you want to do me a favour? We need someone we trust to do it." And I thought, "Why not?"
Yeah.
At first, I thought, "Actually, why have I said yeah? What a stupid thing to do. I'm gonna look like an rat idiot."
Yeah,
but. I'm actually glad I did it. Yeah, like once in a lifetime sort of opportunity, oh, really, yeah. Isn't it? I would probably never do it again, but this I can say I've done it.
You get to keep the shirt.
Yeah, get a shirt. Yeah, oh, get a signed shirt.
Signed what? Our whole team.
Uber.
My player of my choice.
Ah, right. Who did you pick?
Well, I know this was a dilemma. I'm thinking, who do I pick here? And everyone's saying, "Oh, pick Diaz, don't you?" Surely, and I'm thinking, no, why? So I picked Daki.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think it's a solid. Yeah. I love him. I love that.
Yeah.
I think everyone loves Dak.
It would have been Dak or Travis for me.
Yeah. But like, well, I Travis so, come into my mind. Yeah, I thought I'd get the captain on it, but yeah. No, I've gone for Dak. I ain't got it yet, so we'll see. I'll let you know in a couple of weeks if you get a new shirt.
Yeah, because like I said, it, as soon as I uploaded the video, watched the video, I was like, "That's Beth. I was speaking to her this morning."
Honestly, that day at work, my phone—it was non-stop, ping, 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 ping. I'm like, "Oh God." What have I done here?
Have you flipped that?
Yeah. Someone actually asked me, like, how the hell have you got to do that?
Yeah.
I think it's a bit of a quality of diversity as well, you know.
Yeah.
Get a load of different people in. But, I mean, which is good.
Yeah. The video was quite good. I think we've had worse kit.
I think
when people think of the kit reveals, they always think like back to like the day with Birdie. Like,
yeah.
It could have been really cringy, but it came out quite fresh.
I actually liked it, yeah. When I watched it, I thought, actually, it's not as bad as I thought.
Yeah.
Because I got the picture, this is the picture that I put on my Facebook, and they were like, "Oh," she sent it me the night before, saying, "Put this on at 8 in the morning with what to say, you know, sort of,
yeah.
Not before, don't show anybody before." And I looked at the picture and I'm thinking, it's not bad, but it's not great.
Yeah.
So I were a bit worried about the video. But when it came out, I was like, actually, it's quite good. Yeah. I'm quite proud of it, it looks good.
Yeah. So did you all do it on the same day, like everyone involved, or?
Same day, yeah, different places, yeah. So I were with another lady, Elaine, and we were in Blackburn, in this old cinema.
Yeah.
Which was, that were interesting to be fair.
Yeah.
It's nice, isn't
it? Yeah, I went round it for the Adidas special.
Oh,
yeah. A couple of years ago.
Yeah. It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird, like, when you think back to when we were kids. And,
I know.
Because like, you wouldn't have been alive when old cinema was there.
Oh, no,
you?
Of course not.
I've only ever known, like, View.
View,
yeah.
And then there's the new one where Waves used to be in there.
Oh, yeah, Real.
I'm still not
I've never been there.
Last time I went in that old cinema in Blackburn, watched Chicken Run. Remember that?
I always remember we went to watch A Bug's Life for like one of my early birthdays.
But
I had like everyone off the street come round to watch Bug's
Life. That's what you did, isn't it?
Already.
Your mum and dad took you to cinema, didn't they?
Every time I get a guest, it's no longer a Blackburn Rovers podcast.
I know, yes. Sorry, yeah. We're going off tangent. But yeah, it was good. It was good.
Good. Glad you enjoyed it. Talk about not enjoying things.
Oh,
we had Luton away last week, getting beat 2-0. You wouldn't have watched it, you were reporting on Darwin.
I was doing the match report at Darwin, but literally that everyone I've spoken to since has just said how awful we were.
Absolutely. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it, yeah.
Absolutely awful.
I thought first 20 minutes or so, I thought, we look in control, maybe the word would be. Not great, but in control maybe we were. And then it just sort of went downhill.
Yeah, I think that's like, where Luton weren't that great. And I thought, after the first 20 minutes, like you said, I thought, it's going to be a battle, but I could see us nicking something.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And then even going in at our time at 0-0, I thought, if we go out and, like, because we were poor at first half, I thought, if we just step it up a bit in the second half.
Put a bit of pressure on.
But unfortunately, they were the ones that stepped it up. And
After the Diaz chance as well.
Yeah.
I thought, well, all right, maybe that'll give us a bit of a kick.
I think sometimes it can work both ways. If Diaz has a chance, you think, oh my God, I'm going to get loads of chances. And there's times if he misses one. It's a bit like when we had Rhodes, where if Rhodes missed a chance, everyone's head dropped. It weren't like, oh, he'll get another and he'll score. It was like, we're not going to win today if he's not scored.
He's not scored, yeah.
I think it would have happened the same at Blackpool away. If he'd have gone through on that chance, and if keeper saves it, he puts it wide,
we'd have ended up losing.
We'd have got beat.
Yeah.
Because we'd have all said, like, oh, Diaz isn't scoring that, we're not winning. Yeah, it's a weird thing to have a talisman like that, because obviously it's a good thing, but
it's a brilliant thing. Yeah. I just think, like you say, they rely. It's all relying on.
And like I say, it's not only a reliance on the actual goals. It's like it's almost like a psychological thing where it's like them scoring. It's like it gets everyone up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But I think Luton are that sort of team, aren't they?
Yeah, for us they are.
They're always a bogey team. I said that before the game, and actually when I was watching it, I thought I felt pretty positive, especially after Watford.
Yeah,
but I think when you go down to Luton, it's one of them places, isn't it? They're on top of you. They're a physical side.
Yeah.
So you can't play the way you played against Watford against Luton away.
No,
it doesn't work.
I think. The team was probably what I would have gone for, because I didn't want us to like put Hurst up front and just lump the ball, because I thought it would have suited them. But then
What they're doing, isn't
it? Dolan got bullied, really. I think he didn't really get much at ball and. I think the problem is the pitch is that narrow that you don't get space at all.
No.
Like even Hedges, like he spins on halfway line, and you spin on halfway line, you're on edge of box, because the pitch is that small. Yeah. It's not like Ewood, where if you can ping a 40-yard pass, you're still like in the middle of the pitch.
And you've got a bit of space.
It's like every pass at Luton has to be inch perfect. It's either out of play or one of their players is on you straight away.
Morton got quite a bit sick after the game, didn't he?
what do you think of him?
I think it's a bit harsh. I think he's done alright so far. I think after the Watford game, there were quite a few people like singing his praises, but
I don't know what he does.
I know that was like a solid team performance, and like no one really had a bad game, so you know, wouldn't really be fair to criticise him, but I still thought he played quite well.
I mean, he's played more or less every game for us so far, and I still don't know what he's good at.
I think he has to play a certain amount, doesn't he?
Yeah.
With his loan
which is something I didn't want. I didn't want like someone to come in because and like be guaranteed places, because you can't drop Travis. Like Buckley's on bench now, but
I think I'd rather have Buckley in.
Yeah,
I don't dislike him, and I don't think he's a bad player. I think he's decent. Every time I've watched him, I've thought, oh yeah, he looks decent. There's been a lot of times, like I agree with you both. There's been a lot of times where I've thought, what's he doing here? You know, I don't know if he's trying too hard. Is he?
Yeah, I thought that. There's some passes where he's like trying to kill a ball all the time, and he is trying to impress.
Trying to do something special, and sometimes I think just play a normal, straightforward pass. Lift your head up and have a look.
I think when you're in an academy like that, you are trying to play them killer passes all the time, because the result doesn't matter. Like you just want him to be spotted. Yeah. You wanted a chance at first team, where especially at Championship, where every game matters.
Oh yeah.
Like, I think I was listening to the Championship chat podcast, and they were saying like 5th to 22nd, there's like 5 points. It's like an all-time low. So even though you're at playoff,
that's just a Championship. It's always been that way, hasn't it?
Well, it's getting even tighter. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
It's such a difficult league, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is a difficult league, especially when you're in sort of that rut of mid-table finishing all the time, or just outside of playoffs. I think you struggle even more then to try and get into playoffs. Or I just think you're always stuck in that rut a bit in Championship.
Yeah. I think sometimes you get a good run going, and like when you get beat, you're almost like, well, that's the Championship. But then your better teams like that go up, they're the ones that say, no, we need to keep this going. And it's like it's constant, like Sheffield United and Norwich are doing now. They're just like, you're almost like, if you win 3 on bounce, you think, oh, it don't matter if we lose this Saturday, because we've just picked up 9 points, but we only expected 4 or something. Yeah. And I think getting the win against Watford was like unexpected. And then But then if you go and beat Luton away, it's like a double bonus then, yeah. Because you won at home we didn't expect and win away we don't expect.
I was saying to feel as a Dawn, like they're Rovers fans as well, and I was like, we're beating Watford 81 midweek. I was like, get a point today, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a draw so far, so like
crying out for a draw.
That'd be pretty special in itself.
Yeah.
at this point, but no, if you get a draw and 4 points in them two games, you're laughing, aren't you?
Yeah. Definitely.
But, yeah, I'm not really too disappointed with a loss. Like, obviously, no one likes getting beat, but if you look at our results so far, we're beating the teams that you expect us to be, like the ones below us, and we beat QPR are currently above us, and the teams that we're getting beat off are like all top half or above us teams.
Yeah.
It's not like, I know there were some times under Mowbray where we were winning games at home, we would probably struggle against like your big teams, and then we'd go to someone like Rotherham away, like one of the bottom teams, and drop points, and that's where fans get frustrated. I think if we carry on in this form where you're winning the games you're expected to win, and it's just changing them losses against the top teams to draws and like potential wins, that's where you make your difference up. Because I think obviously 1-5, lost 5 over a course of a season, you win half your games, you're definitely up. So if you just change a couple of the losses into like draws and pick up points here and there,
I mean, to guarantee playoffs, you're looking at 75 plus, aren't you? That's kind of like the
70 points is a mark, I
think.
I think it'll be lower this year though,
possibly, because you look how competitive it is,
because even like there's no one, even though Sheffield United are doing well at the minute, no one's flying away from everyone
else.
And I think like we look at Watford, I know they've just sat the manager and got Bilic.
They've got Bilic, haven't they?
I don't think any manager can make their players play well.
I
think there's that much pressure from like the culture of, you know, this kind of like merry-go-round of managers and giving no one a chance, that I don't think anyone can settle at the minute.
Is it pressure though? Is that an 18-month contract? If he loses his first 10 games, he gets a massive payout.
I know it's mental, isn't it?
I think as a manager, you've got a win-win situation at Watford. You either do really well, get promoted,
or you get boom, there's a lot of money.
And I think now Watford have got that reputation, like you were saying, it's a merry-go-round. I don't think anyone who gets sacked by Watford, like other managers, if you spend 3 years at a club then get sacked, you almost think, oh well, he's been sacked for a reason, it's a bad thing. You get sacked by Watford, everyone's like, well, who hasn't been sacked by Watford?
I was looking at the other day how many games the recent managers have done. It's crazy really when you look at it.
But then why give him the full summer and like all that? Well, he didn't really invest that much money into it, but
I think he'll do too bad to be fair, but I think he might do alright at Watford.
He's a good championship manager, isn't he?
It's like when Edwards was like, when it was announced the other day, you almost have two reactions. It's kind of like, wow, he's only had 10 games, and it's like, well, it's Watford, isn't it?
That's it.
It's stupid, I think.
But I think their expectations are so high because of how many years they've had in Prem like recently.
Yeah, of course. And don't get me wrong, they've got some decent players at Watford. Yeah. Really, when you look
at
them,
it's just their attitude stinks.
Yeah, it is.
But I don't know how a new manager sorts that out. So Sarr wants to go to Newcastle, like Pedro's been linked with moves away. Like, how does Bilic come in and say, you're staying at Watford?
Do you turn around and say, we'll go then if you want? Yeah. Get someone else in.
It's like, I think Thomason has had that. Not that positive influence at Rovers where he said to players like, I can improve you, can stay here.
You can stay here.
It was like, I don't think Bilic will do that at Watford at all.
No.
But yeah.
Liking Thomason, yeah.
Yeah, I'm loving it at the minute.
Yeah.
And I say I'm loving it, like we're all mourning about losing against Luton.
Losing against Luton.
We said last week we're living the dream, aren't we? We've got like youth players coming through. Like everyone's got a connection with the players, the support's good again, and
I agree. You go down Ewood now and it feels a lot better than it has done in the previous 3 years.
Feels like everyone's pulling in the same direction for a change.
So after the Luton game we had the international break, which I was buzzing about because England have been relegated.
has anyone ever been buzzing for an international break?
I suppose
Scotland are flying at the minute.
Well, we'll say we're flying. We've played.
Oh, you're going to get promoted if you.
Yeah, we draw a win tonight and get promoted, but And you look at the teams in Group A, like, you don't want to play Germany and Spain. We get spanked, really.
Italy, yeah. Not. Who have they got now? Well, Armenia. And...
No, it's not that. No. We're not that low down.
That's like Group D. Yeah,
we played Ukraine tonight. Ukraine, Republic of Ireland, and yeah, Armenia are in the
team. Yeah, I thought they were.
Thing is, our Armenia games were the first two right at the start because we couldn't play Ukraine at the start.
Yeah, no.
They've all been, so we played this in Saturday, played Ukraine, Ireland, and Ukraine again tonight.
Yeah.
So you almost forget about them. We needed them to beat Ukraine the other night so we can get promoted, and they got beat 5-0.
Yeah, no. You're surprised.
Come on, Armenia.
Yeah.
Shouting, painter and decorator to score.
There's a fair lot of
them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think we should start with obviously England being relegated. Is Southgate out yet or?
No. I was saying, like, he's almost put himself in an impossible position, because anything other than winning the World Cup is a backward step.
We're not going to win the World Cup,
and that's it. Well, there you go.
It's just a fact. We're not going to win the World Cup.
You can't take a backward step with the talent we've got. So
people say the talent we've got, right? Let's talk about this.
But I agree with that. When you look at us on paper, you think actually we should be.
Let's look at the England team. I've rate this down for you now. So if we were making a World 11 of all the players in the world, how many England players get in that 11?
No, but that's
1 to 11. I want a 1 to 11.
But you've got to take into account the amount of young players, and in 5 years,
like time, Jesse Lingard, 29, Harry Maguire, 42.
Like Bellingham.
Yeah, Bellingham's world
Bellingham's
class.
Bellingham's going to be an absolute... He's going to be a star.
If he doesn't start for England in World Cup, then something's wrong.
He should be your main man. He should be captain now. He's like a self-belief to... He's not one of these players that will pass sideways and pass backwards. He's going forwards no matter what. Even players like Saka made a massive difference last year.
Saka, Sancho...
But he's playing Saka at left wing back to fit Foden in. Well, if Saka's coming on and making an impact, Foden doesn't play for me.
Yeah.
Right. I know, Harry,
I do like Foden. I think he's a good player, but I see what you mean. I think that's the sort of thing you need to be looking at, isn't it? Like, hang on, what's working?
Yeah.
Because he's got Eric Dier in there for me. I think that's a mistake.
You think Foden's productive enough for England?
No. He's not productive enough for City. I know he gets a lot of goals, right? If you look at his expected goals, he should be getting like 30 goals a season with the chances he gets, but he only scores 10.
I was going to say the types of goals he scores as well, like, unless it's like an open net or a deflection.
Yeah. I think that's similar to Sterling as well. I think a lot of the time, you look at how many chances Sterling misses.
Yeah.
Not just for his club, but for England as well. Ooh.
Yeah, because they were on it first half against Germany last night when he already cut inside.
Yeah.
I think like an informed striker or a probably a young player with like that self-belief just puts that in bottom bin first time.
Yeah,
I think Kane was a bit frustrating last night. I feel like every time England went forward, he just kind of slowed it down.
But he still wants to drop deep and get that ball, doesn't he?
Yeah, but
I think that he takes like the ball away from Bellingham. Bellingham wants to drive into that space. If he's dropping deep, asking for the ball, he should be, I'm in the penalty box, and if it comes in, I'm scoring. Yeah. Like, I don't want you to touch the ball anywhere else on pitch.
Yeah.
I think... I watched them against Germany last night, and I know people say like the talent England have got, but if you look at that, is that Muselier for Germany? Like the number 9, the 19-year-old from Bayern Munich.
Yeah, we were talking about him today.
He is different class. Like, he's like a step above I mean, you can't compare him to Bellingham in two positions, but
too good for Harry Maguire.
Did I hear something about him? He could have played for England.
Yeah, he could have. I think he was born here. And went to America then Germany, I think.
Yeah.
Oh,
that would have been a good one.
Well, didn't you play for England at youth level and then?
Yeah, I think.
How can you do that? That's like.
Yeah, because a lot of people were going mad when the Germany of all places.
It just depends where you get your opportunities, isn't it?
It probably got a better opportunity to play.
You've got to think, like, is it, realistically, did he think he was going to play for England? Like, probably not. I know, like. Probably sounds controversial, but like being a young like black lad, is he gonna like get the first opportunity? No,
I don't know about that.
It comes into it though. Like you look at the the players in key positions for England, like in the past, they've always been like white players. Like you look at the centre backs, the centre mids, the main striker, they've and that's why like black players get forced out to the wide positions and the fullback positions, because it's that prejudgment of them being like fast and athletic. Like,
I'm not really sure that's the case these days, though, Rob.
No, I'm not saying that's the case these days, but I think if you look back like 10 years ago, you probably thought that. Like,
yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah.
The amount of like, black players that have been overlooked for like captaincy roles and stuff. Like you look at Sol Campbell, who was like Arsenal's captain, invincible, you couldn't get an England team. Mm-hmm. Like, I know like Sol Campbell's spoke about in the past about not getting manager jobs and stuff like that, but I think even as a player, like, I don't want to like start rumours about the current England team, but you look like even Tony, like, why is he not starting for England? Like, Harry Kane's not scored for more than player for about 6 years. Like, he's got the World Cup golden boot for scoring 9 penalties against San Marino or something. Like, he's not doing enough.
This is where Dad will listen to this now and saying Shearer didn't score for 84 games for Euro 96.
But yeah, for me, I think, and then you look at Saka, like, why is he being forced to like play left wing back? Why is he not your first name on the team sheet at right wing? He's played so well for Arsenal this year.
He has played well for Arsenal, yeah. I like him.
I mean, Pope in that, or sort of Ramsdale.
I don't mind Pope, but I don't think he's the best we've got.
I think he's shocking his feet.
Well, he looks like he's kicking a bowling ball. Yeah. He's like skirt. He's like tiptoeing towards it. Like, do I kick this?
Do I kick that?
Yeah, it's a strange. Like Ramsdale should be number one, or Ramsdale Pickford.
For Stegen had a good game last night, didn't he?
Who?
To Stegen in the German goal.
Oh yeah. Well, I think what I think about the keepers. Everyone goes mad about Pickford, don't they?
Yeah.
He's actually a decent. He's a decent keeper. I don't know why people go off on him as much. I think a lot of people give him so much stick.
Yeah. There's an agenda against him. Like every time he makes a mistake, it's massive.
How many times did Pope make a mistake? He had a bad one last night.
If that's Pickford in there last night for that third goal, it's all over everywhere. Yeah.
I've said it a couple of times before, and you know, like, Pickford has never let England down. Like, he saved two penalties in the
Euro final
shootout. If you're a keeper and you're saving two penalties and you're losing a shootout, you've been let down.
But I think if you give so many people an option of Pickford or a Pope, you guarantee to have more percentage picking Pickford, surely.
Yeah.
I don't know the
way he wants to play, because he had a lot of the ball last night at the back. If you're having a lot of the ball, you don't want Pope in your net.
No.
And I don't know is he picking him because he expects us to not have enough of the ball, but then if you're not expecting them enough of a ball, you don't have five at the back, because it just doesn't make sense the way he's setting up to me.
No.
The press didn't look right either.
Harry Kane can't be like instigating your press, can he?
No, it was non-existent at times, especially in the first half.
But how do you even press a team like Germany, because it's two passes and around? Like, Gundogan in the middle, he's just
unbelievable.
You can press him with all your team, he'll still turn and get out. He's class, and probably training every day with Man City, he's pressed to death.
Yeah. that's your difference, yeah.
Yeah, impressed by it. It's like, who did they play the other night? England, when they didn't score.
Italy.
And Declan Rice said, I don't understand it, because scoring goals are fun in training. I said, because you're playing against England defenders in training, you're not playing against the Italians.
It's a difference, isn't it?
I watched Harry Maguire last night, and is it any wonder you're scoring for fun in training? That penalty, I don't know why the referees not give it, because it's the clearest penalty I've ever seen. Stuck it through his legs and he just swung a solid leg, no bending knee. Yeah. He just swung his leg with three iron down fairway straight at his shin.
I don't know what to think about Maguire, because I used to like him. I used to think, you know what, he's solid, but I don't know, he's mistake central, isn't he?
I think it's quite harsh leaving him out there. Like last night after the second goal, because he gave it away for that one as well, I just thought you need to sub him off. It's just every mistake now, or every pass that he doesn't make, it's everywhere, and I just
he's getting a lot of stick in here. I don't think that helps players. Yeah. He's getting a lot of stick. And I don't think he's as bad as they make him out to be.
No,
he's decent, but he just need. I don't know.
He's saying it's not affecting him, but it is. It affects anyone. They're all human beings at the end of the day. No one's bulletproof.
No,
and I think
there's only so much you can take in there.
Even if even if like the media and like the video, like the social media isn't like getting to him, there'll be sniggers around training ground and stuff.
Oh, of course.
Like, other players will see it and other players will like talk about it. Yeah. And,
yeah. It'll get to you, won't it?
Oh, yeah.
Eventually.
100%. 100%. So, what do you think of the England kits?
I don't like the home one, absolutely.
I didn't like the home one at first, but I think now I've seen it on the players, I think it'll grow on people.
Yeah, it's changing.
I like
the away.
Yeah.
The away one's smart.
Yeah.
Have you seen the like the edit of the away one with like the palm colours? So like the it's all white with a blue collar. That's smart. It looks
better.
Yeah. But yeah, I just we spoke about the home. I don't understand the like the difference in kits. If you see it, you buy it online, you can buy a stadium shirt, can't you? Which is like a fan shirt.
£75
Yeah,
which is a lot of money for a, not what the players were wearing.
Yeah,
I think it's ridiculous. I mean, if you got the same T-shirt without an England badge on, it's like tenner. Like the base Nike shirt, whatever.
They're doing the pre-match kit, like that blue one. He's in that one. That's quite nice.
Like the warm-up shirt.
It's a bit loud though, isn't
it? Yeah, it's loud. Yeah, it's loud, but I quite like it.
I mean, the shoulder.
I really like that that pre-match one from the last World Cup. It's like the white. And
so that's like the reflected.
That's nice.
For the audio listeners, you can't see this.
Yeah, no. I like that. Reversed, yeah. It's the red one, but white.
But I don't understand why they don't just release two kits like that. Why they have to have a change?
Yeah, why is the home different to the away?
You can just have both.
Different concepts, sorry. Yeah.
If they'd have released like that as a home kit and kept the red one as well, it would have been a lot better. Yeah. Like a uniform kit kind of thing. Yeah. But yeah, I've looked at quite a lot of the Nike kits that they've released for the World Cup. I just think a lot of them absolutely stink.
Yeah.
Like the warm-up shirts are actually nicer than the actual kits to be wearing on the pitch.
Closer to the World Cup, we're going to do like a top five for this tournament's kits, aren't we? I've been looking at a few of them and I'm just like, there's some really poor
efforts. You can't even do a top five, it's like not the worst 19.
Especially when you look back at some of the kits you've had. Unbelievable,
Some really poor ones, yeah.
Like, I'm just thinking like England kits, the one I think people are most associated to the ones they grow up with. So, like, we think back to probably like the red pinstripe 2002, like the David Beckham free kit. And there were nothing special to it, just a white kit with a red pinstripe. I think, like,
it's the memories, I think, for that, isn't it? The players who played and what you remember of it.
Yeah, because everyone says, like, oh, this and this was the best World Cup, when in fact, it's always what people grew up with. It's like the one that they could watch all day at home and stuff.
The first one you sort of remember watching.
It's like because like England have been terrible really in my lifetime.
It's not really semi-final in the final.
From the last few years, but it's not really one that stands out. Like you're like growing like fight when
I didn't even get a World Cup growing up.
No, listen.
France 98.
The last few years I've been like, you know, like, well, the Euros, I was an adult, and Boko was like 15, 16, or whatever. But like growing up, like to the age of like, I don't know, 5 and 10, like, we didn't qualify for Euro 2008. Beat round 16 in South Africa.
South Africa were a shocking World Cup, weren't they? All round, not just for England, it was just a bad World Cup.
Euro 2012 was like quarter finals against Italy.
Yeah, it was like Ukraine and Poland.
Yeah, and then 2014 was knocked out in group stages. Knocked out by Iceland.
That
was a good night. That was a really good night.
That was a bad England kit. I
think that my favourite World Cup and tournament probably 2002 in Japan and South Korea, and then probably Euro 2004 I loved. England did quite, I think, got knocked out by Portugal in round of 16 in quarter finals
really.
I think like it would be Ronaldo's first major tournament getting to the final. Obviously Greece winning it, like the underdogs, it's like the perfect tournament really.
But goal and goal?
No. I think they scored like 50th minute. No, it can't be goal. Can't be goal and goal because England would have got knocked out against Portugal, wouldn't they? It was 1-1, then we just made it 2-2 in extra time.
I just think it was a tournament.
Can't think of golden goal. It must be like Euro 2000. Because France won it Euro 2000 with golden goal.
Germany won 96 and golden goals, wasn't it?
Yeah. remember they tried that silver goal for a bit, didn't they? Like in the Europa League and stuff. Like he scored and then got to half time of extra time. It's all over. Like, so we call it 15 minutes early. Like, let's get
up.
Scenes must have been good with golden goal.
Yeah. Well, I remember Liverpool won the UEFA Cup that year, like 5-4 on a golden goal. And all the players like ran back to halfway line, like getting in shape and stuff. And then I think Gary McAllister scored a free kick and he's in corner with top off. And all the players are like, come on. He's like, no, we've won. Like, I don't think anyone really knew when it were happening and when it weren't. I think it didn't help though, because teams just used to go 10 at back because we were just scared of like conceding that break.
I can't say I actually remember, to be honest, much. Rose 2000 did it start?
Yeah, it would have been 2000, 2001.
Yeah.
I think like, yeah, on the lead up to the 2002 World Cup, it definitely got called
off. Six-ish, probably. So.
So whilst we're talking about kits, top five section for this week is our top five favourite kits of all time. So,
best. It's a strange one, isn't it? Because you sort of think they're obviously not going to be everyone's favourite kits, but I don't think they're the best of all time. Personally, just think they're the ones that I quite like. And it's maybe, I don't need to go in order, do I? I'm just going to give you general five. Because this first one I'm going to give you is so weird. And I've actually took it off once and then put it back on because it's so strange. But every time I see it or I see someone wearing it, I think that even now that looks cool.
Yeah.
Newcastle 95.
Is this like the claret and blue hoops one or the black and white?
The black and white.
The Newcastle Brown sponsor.
The Brown, like that kit. Yeah. Every time I see someone wearing it, I think, I like that.
Is that the Adidas straps all
the way down?
All the way down
the arm.
90s kits in general is brilliant, aren't they? I think four of mine.
I wonder why Adidas don't do that now, like the straps all the way down to the bottom.
And I think it just looks smart. I've always thought it looks a nice kit.
Yeah, with the Newcastle being the stripes and the stripes down the sleeves, it just like
it
fitted
effective.
Well.
Yeah.
I just think with any Adidas kit, like just put the trefoil as the badge.
Yeah.
It looks rather
than I mean, the new logo is quite smart.
Yeah.
Rather than like the little Adidas written underneath.
Yeah.
I like the new logo.
Yeah. So I've got that. I've got the England 93rd kit. Obviously, I think that's
which one's that?
Typical.
The
blue.
The World in Motion.
I think that's typical, innit?
Yeah.
But
it's never actually worn.
No. But I like it.
You've worn in Bridgewater quite a lot.
Yeah.
When you're in tournaments on.
I think it's a nice kit. I've got City, the 2020 away kit, the black one.
Is that the gold badge?
Yeah. Nice. I like that one.
Yeah. City have had some good kits recently.
Yeah, they have.
And I think when they first got took over like that, were it Puma or Nike around that time, with like Rabinho and stuff. I always remember that white one with like the red and black sash.
Yeah.
Like City have been quite creative.
They had that third one,
that
didn't they? That like a with the pattern with the paisley pattern.
That was nice.
I'm thinking what is that? And then the more I watched it, I'm like, actually it's really smart.
Yeah.
So I've got Rovers away the red kit this season
with the roses on.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
Love it. Went and bought it.
I noticed this when I saw someone that sits next to us. Has it got different shades of red in it? Is it like camo print reds?
It looks kind of
strange.
Like water paint, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's.
And I think that's what I don't like about it.
You don't like that?
I just think it looks streaky.
Because I did like last season's, not the Recover-Right, not when they plastered it with Totally Wicked, because that looked awful. But the actual Recover-Right red and black one, I like that one, but that's not in my top five. I've put that one in instead because I think it's really smart.
The only thing I had with that kit was the collar. I just didn't think it suited like the red and black horse.
I know what you mean.
Got like a proper like collar on it.
Yeah.
I
think that looked better.
And then England 2007. Yeah, with the it was like it had the sort of
St. George's crossing the shoulder,
and then
that was a good kit.
The Michael Owen shirt.
That's what I mean. It's like, and then you got like your Terry and
I see Gerrard in that kit. Something.
Yeah, I think the reason I picked that is because I think that's probably the main time when I'd actually started really getting interested in like watching football,
and then
watching England and watching the players we had in 2007.
Yeah.
I think that's why I picked that one.
I think
I always remember
was that the World Cup when like I think Gerrard and Crouch scored the first game against Trinidad and Tobago, didn't they? Yeah, I think that's why you were thinking of Gerrard.
In 2006,
And
Joe Cole scored that screaming
against Sweden. Because the away kit was similar, weren't it? The red one, that had a wide cross on
the shoulder.
I actually think that in kits are better when they are uniformed like that.
Yeah.
Like, you think about all the good ones, like the 82 one, like, it was like the same.
Same shoulder pattern on the red
one. And you mentioned the one with the stripe, like that.
Yeah.
That was. But I don't think when you look up now, I don't think you think, oh, that's nice. I think it's a bit like you think back to the players and what it was like, and then, do you know what I mean?
They went through a phase of reversible ones, didn't they? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So they had, I think they this did. Might have been before your time. So they had a red one that like reversed to navy.
Yeah.
And then they had a white one where the collar reversed. So like it was still white on the inside. Yeah. There's a collar with different colours. And they're like, what sort of kit clash would you need to turn that kit inside out? I always used to think, if that player takes his top off celebrating, imagine if he doesn't turn it back inside out and he's like got a different colour to the rest of the players.
So yeah, well, they're my five.
Right, go on, Lewis, I'll let you crack
on. So my five are Man City's away kit in 98-99, the one they used for the playoff final against Gillingham.
Oh, the high vis
one. The green navy one. I really like it. It was like, I think it was like one of the first times they used that like angel badge, weren't it? I think that's a really smart kit. I've got a Rangers kit in 96-97, Adidas one, like the big white stripes. I just see Gazza in that kit. So many great players around that time, but Gazza's the one that stands out. West Germany's home kit in Italia 90,
it's a green one.
No, that was the away kit, the one with like the
three stripes
across the middle.
That is a classic. That's like a classic. When people think of classic kits, that's one of the first ones, isn't it?
Yeah. And it helps that they won the tournament spot. Brazil's home kit, 1970.
Brazil kit are always classic, aren't they?
But I think because that was the kind of like original one. The one I didn't like was like the one 2002, that night one.
The total 90 ones.
Yeah.
So I think everyone had that. Every night team had the same template, didn't they? Like the circle realm and stuff.
Even like people like see it's quite nostalgic because like R9 and all that, and they won that tournament as well. I don't really like it.
Probably because they're not England now.
I don't really like night kits in general, to be honest.
Adidas is usually like a standout, isn't it?
Yeah. And then I suppose like, after I have a Rovers kit, so I picked the 94-95 away shirt.
Oh yeah,
I think that's a solid choice.
It is a solid choice.
Definitely good five. Like, good five from both, really. So my top five kits. So I don't think anyone will pick this Rovers shirt as a top kit. So I've got the 2001-2002 all navy away kit. That was a Time sponsor.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that shirt. I had Janssen on back, number 15.
Yeah,
just like them Kappa shirts are tight though. They were tight. I won't get away with wearing one now. I'll be put in prison. About when I was a kid and quite skinny, wear stuff like that. But yeah, they were good times. I just think like I think you sometimes associate kits with like good memories of football. I think obviously just being promoted, winning a League Cup that season. I think it was just a good time for us and for kits as well. Second one is Arsenal, the Burgundy kit. For the last season in Highbury.
Two sponsors,
like the gold sponsor, the gold badge. Obviously, the last season at Highbury, I just picture Thierry Henry just stood there.
That's who you think of straight away, isn't it, for that kit?
What a player! I love
that. That last home game they played there, you know, it on Premier League years when Henry
scores the penalty and then like goes down and bows down to the ground. What a team Arsenal were to watch. But I used to love watching them. I used to like stay up and watch match at day, not just because we were on last, but
because
I used to watch Arsenal like when Van Persie were coming through and Ali Hadier and Reyes and stuff.
Always got better there, didn't we?
Yeah.
But whether it was Highbury or Emirates, I think it was a few times at Emirates. We were like 6-2, 7-1.
Not good. And I've got the League One promotion kit, the black, red, and black. Yeah, that were a good kit.
That were a nice kit, to be fair. You think of Daki straight away, don't you?
I think a Mulgrew.
Mulgrew running off at Doncaster.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I think, again, it comes back to memories, doesn't it? Like, I think I went to where, I think I missed three games all season that season.
Everyone was so close, weren't it? Away days were so close, weren't they?
A lot of Northwest ones.
Yeah.
Even the London ones were all like straight to Houston, then you were at the ground, more or less. I've got the Fiorentina Nintendo shirt. So I've got, I was obsessed with like Batistuta and Italian football growing up. I remember like when I used to like go and see my family in Scotland, like stay over at my nana's, we always used to watch like the Italian football highlights the next morning, like Sunday morning, just like seeing Batistuta score like under goal of the season wearing that purple Nintendo shirt.
It's a really smart shirt.
Yeah. I'd love to. I think like when you look at like the replica shirt websites and stuff, they're worth hundreds of shirts.
Yeah.
And then the last one, Real Madrid 2001 to 2003. Just the white one, no sponsor, black stripes.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I love Real Madrid.
What was that one they had at the moment? Was that gold stripes down the side and
black
sponsor? Okay, I can't remember what sponsor. Sponsored him, but.
Was this when Ronaldo were there and stuff? And Kaká?
I think it might have been just before Ronaldo. Because was it that Boeing he had in the front?
Yeah.
Before that?
They had Seaman and Mobile before that.
Yeah, they did.
90, yeah. The only one, I think, the one in the 90s that stands out is that black one they wore for the Champions League final. When my man scored, it's like black with like orangey, goldy stripes on the shoulder. Mm. That was Becker.
Might just be... Yeah, it might
have been. There was a Becker home with like purple like, stripes. And
I'm seeing gold stripes, yeah.
I'm seeing gold.
I might be inventing a kit here. It don't really exist, but.
You sort of put my kits to shame, though. To be fair, I do like a few Madrid ones. And I think that there's a few Barca ones that are. But I just think.
Surely it's everyone's dream to wear like the all white of Real Madrid and walk out on the Bernabeu and play alone.
I don't like Real Madrid.
I know, but it is, isn't it? Imagine how you'd feel.
Like just being in the change room wearing the all white.
Yeah.
Like, because obviously we grew up with like the Galacticos where all the best players played there.
I know
politically, like, you can't really like Real Madrid, but I think just on a footballing sense, they were everyone's dream club growing up.
Yeah.
I think it's like a change of generation. I think for your generation, it was like Barcelona, and even now it's like Man City. Yeah. I think for us, it was always United or Real Madrid, weren't it, really? Apart from your hometown team.
Your hometown team. Well, that's who you always saw, like you said, winning stuff, and the best players played there.
Yeah.
That's where all the top players were at, wasn't it?
Between 2008 and 2012, Barca won, like, was it 14 trophies in 4 years under Guardiola? They were just insane, weren't they?
Yeah, unbelievable.
So that is top five done for another week. That's flying through here. 40 minutes gone already. Football chat. So have you heard about Chelsea's owner wanting to do a North versus South, like a spectacle match, like a North, like all the players from the North, all the players from the South,
play against each other.
I haven't actually heard about that, but it would be the purpose of it.
Well, it's a bit like an all-star game, like basketball, baseball.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
They do it like an all-star game, don't they?
For charity or just for just to see what.
For me, I'd rather have that. I know like people are saying like, oh, it's about rivalries, football. You can't have players playing together. Well, they do it for the countries, so like they can do it for a one-off game.
Yeah.
And I think, would you rather see an all-star game with the Prem teams, or would you rather watch Community Shield? And for me, I'd rather watch an all-star game. And I think it will happen eventually. Like, I think Bournemouth have been linked with another American takeover this week.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's getting to the point where like
Americanization makes me sick.
They're coming to take it back.
North South, right?
Yeah. So I wrote it out like a North team, South team. So in North we've got Man City, Man United, Liverpool, Newcastle, Leeds, Villa, Wolves, Everton, Nottingham Forest and Leicester. In the South I've got Tottenham, Arsenal, Brighton, Fulham, Chelsea, Brentford, Bournemouth, Southampton, Crystal Palace and West Ham. So I think TalkSport spoke about it and they said you can pick three players from each team and stuff, but then you'd just pick like four teams that, like, if you were picking three from each team, there's no way a Bournemouth player's getting in there.
No.
There's no way.
No.
There's
not
no way,
Chelsea.
No, not weird. No way. And Notts Forest teams coming in. Oh, so man. I tried to do minimum one player per team, and then there'd be obviously like two players from one of the teams in that section. So I'm going to do you my North team first. So my team for the North, I've got Melier in the net from Leeds. I've got Renan Lordle at left back from Forest, just because I couldn't find another Forest player to put in anywhere. Nathan Collins from Wolves, centre back, alongside Martinez from Man United. Yeah. I think a lot of people slagged him off when they signed him, but he looks class.
Yeah, he does.
Right back, I've got Matty Cash from Villa. Three centre mids, I've got Thiago from Liverpool, Tielemans from Leicester, and Kevin De Bruyne from Man City.
Gotta be on it.
Yeah. Left wing, we've got Saint-Maximin from Newcastle. Right wing, I've got Anthony Gordon from Everton, just because I couldn't find anyone else from Everton I wanted.
Yeah.
And up front, only one player in there, Haaland from City.
Of course.
Who did you pick for net?
Melier from Leeds.
Pickford.
I think Melier is better. I couldn't pick a right winger from Leeds to I think Melier, apart from that, outside the top four, I think he's one of the best keepers at Prem.
Yeah,
he is.
And he's only young as well.
I probably would have picked Pickford.
Yeah.
But
who do you pick from Leeds to play up front though?
I know. Yeah.
I do like that, some of the new players, like that, Brendan Aaronson and stuff, but just on the wings, you've only got that Jack Harrison really.
Yeah, Jack Harrison's alright.
Yeah, he's alright. He's not an all-star player.
Not really.
In the Southern team, I've got Sanchez at net from Brighton. Right back, I've got Mbabu from Fulham. Centre back, I've got Silva from Chelsea and Senesi from Bournemouth. Just because I could not pick anyone else on board.
No.
I think how can I fit Joe Rothwell in here, but there's something further that in it.
He's still not playing, has he?
No. Left back, I've got Kieran Tierney from Arsenal. Centre mids, Declan Rice, Ward-Prowse and Martin Odegaard from West Ham, Southampton and Arsenal. On the right wing, I've got Kulusevski from Spurs. On the left wing, I've got Wilfried Zaha from Crystal Palace. Yeah. And up front, I've got Ivan Toney from Brentford.
Two solid teams, but I think I fancy the North, to be honest.
King of the North.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd like to see some of that rather than Community Shield. I think, obviously, of all the things, all the proceeds go to charity. I don't know how you do like with fan base and stuff. Do you just
because that would be a bit difficult.
Would you go and just support a player, or
I was thinking about that, cause it's like what kind of audience would it almost be, that Soccer Aid, where it's just like, you know,
it probably would, but
I mean, that even then, that's fine, like you said, ticket, got anything, go to charity, that's
I think for like an all-star game as well, you get a lot of like corporate people, don't you? Like,
especially
for like basketball and baseball and stuff, cause a lot of celebrities turn up for the all-star game stuff.
They probably wouldn't know real though. Different kettle of fish, innit?
Like everyone, like Wembley, like 10 people in. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm gonna have to move on to the 1-10 quiz because we are running out of time this week, and we've gone on for 45 minutes already, which is a lot, really. Right. So do you know how the quiz works, Beth?
Not really. No, I don't work well under pressure either.
There's no pressure. So. 10 questions, 1 to 10. You pick a number, you get that question.
Right.
So you're going to go first, right? You pick a number, you get that question. If you get the answer straight away, then you get 2 points.
Right.
You can ask for multiple choice, and if you get it after the options, then you're going to get one point. So it's, if you know it, it's obviously worth getting it, but if you're not sure, then you can still pick up a point.
So, or none.
Yeah. Any number between 1 and 10?
4.
I won't shout it out this week.
Tough one to start.
Do.
So, who scored the only goal of the game in a 2002 third round FA Cup game against Millwall at the Den?
God. I'm not getting that straight off the bat, no way.
Do you want options?
Yeah.
Is it A, Matt Janssen, B, Damien Duff, C, Andy Cole, or D, Alan Mahan?
Do you know this?
No, I haven't got a clue.
I'm going to go Duff.
No, it was Andy Cole.
Oh, no.
Could be.
That was a tough question.
It was a tough question, yeah.
Lewis, any number apart from 4?
7.
7?
It is 7.
Millwall shocked everyone when they reached the 2004 FA Cup final, losing 3-0 to Man United in the final. But who beat Rovers 4-0 in the third round?
Multiple choice.
Was it A, Arsenal, B, Chelsea, C, Aston Villa, or D, Birmingham City?
I'm going to go Chelsea.
Wrong. It was Birmingham City.
I can see this quiz going downhill.
Oh, yeah. Nil-nil. I'm no tiebreaker either, so you can't get it right. I do have a tiebreaker, but hopefully don't need it. Right, any number, Beth, apart from 4 and 7?
I'll go 2.
2. Which former Rovers player was the first England representative to score at the new Wembley? So, like, not like England representatives, so it didn't have to be England international. Could have been under 19, under 21.
What year was this? Can you tell me not?
When the new Wembley were open, so like 2007, 2008.
Yeah. Don't
give us
too many clues.
Got the options?
Yeah.
Was it A, David Bentley, B, Jason Law, C, Matt Derbyshire, or D, Stephen Warnock?
I think it's between Bentley and Derbyshire, innit?
Are you asking me?
I'm going to go Bentley.
Correct.
Yeah.
It was Bentley. Scored a free kick against it. Matt Derbyshire scored it the same game.
That might be what I was thinking of, actually. Yeah.
Right, Lewis, 1, 3, 5, 6, 8, or 9?
Eight.
The Nations League represents a chance for countries to get into the qualification playoffs for Euro 2024, but which country will host the tournament?
Euro 2024?
Yeah.
Nations, Germany.
Germany, yeah, correct.
Well done.
Right, Beth, 1, 3, 5, 6, 9, or 10?
6, please. I haven't gone out of a rabbit hole.
Brereton Diaz will represent Chile tonight. Who was his first goal for La Roja against?
Oh, God. Now you're asking me.
I remember watching.
I do. I remember seeing it, yeah. Go ahead, so was the options wrong?
A, Uruguay. B, Bolivia. C, Argentina. Or D, Venezuela.
But Bolivia.
It was Bolivia.
Yeah. See, I need the options and then I remember.
Yeah. Right, Lewis, 1, 3, 5, 9 or 10?
Let's go 1.
Rovers were knocked out of the FA Cup in the quarter-final by this weekend's opponents. Who did Millwall go on to lose to in the semi-final at Wembley?
Who was a final that year?
2013. Do you know
what? Well, it was, what is it, Wigan City in final? City beat him.
Oh, Wigan.
Wigan.
Oh, stinker. He's not a stinker. Yeah, I think.
Oh, yeah, fair play.
Yeah, did City not beat United in the semi? I don't know. Well, they beat Chelsea in the semi.
Chelsea.
And then Wigan obviously beat him in final. So, all even with 4 questions to go. Beth, 3, 5, 9, or 10?
10. Oh no.
Who scored the winner in the 91st minute the last time he beat Millwall at home?
Was that last season?
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. I'm saying alright, yeah. I'm not 100%, but pretty confident it's this person.
Done the options.
I feel like I don't. I feel like I'm gonna guess. I'm just trying to think when it were. Oh. Gives the options, Rob.
Harvey Elliott, Sam Gallagher, Brereton Diaz, or Adam Armstrong.
Gallagher.
Armstrong.
Oh.
Did you know that one?
Yeah.
Oh. No.
Harvey Elliott scored the first, and Armstrong scored the winner in the 91st minute. Yeah. Right, Lewis, 3, 5, or 9?
5.
Shocker. Absolute shocker.
Number 5. What is the name of Millwall's mascot?
The line, I don't know. It's a dead, isn't it?
You need more. Do you want the options?
Go on.
A. Zampa the Lion. B. Larry the Lion. C. Dave the Lion. Or D. Frank.
Or just Frank.
Just Frank.
Just Frank.
Larry the Lion.
Incorrect. It's Zampa the Lion.
Zampa.
Apparently, the stadium's built on Zampa Road or something, Zampa Street. So, right, Beth, 3 or 9. Still 2-2.
I'll go 9. Oh no! I've had a shocker.
No,
here.
Both of these last questions are tough, to be honest. So, who was wearing the number 9 shirt in the infamous quarterfinal loss to Millwall?
Oh my God. You're gonna have to. You may as well just give me this multiple choice, the full quiz. Totally off mark here. Go on, give us the options. Might be able to scrape a point.
A. Leon Best. B. Jordan Rose. C. Nuno Gomez. Or D. Fabio Nunes.
Do you know that?
I think so.
Gomez.
Oh, no. Leon Best.
Oh.
I can understand why you wouldn't remember that.
Yeah. No.
Definitely something to forget.
Yeah.
Right, Lewis.
That were a difficult one, to be fair.
Both of these ones are tough. So, question 3, Lewis, last one. Who did Rovers sign from Millwall in the summer of 2003 for £1.85 million?
That's 6 months old.
Told you it was tough.
I've got multiple choice.
It is tough. Imagine if he gets this
up. Multiple choice. A. Lucas Neal. B. Stephen Reid. C. Michael Gray. Or D. David Yeldell.
David Yeldell.
Wrong. It was Stephen Reid.
Really?
Yeah.
I actually
knew
that one.
So it's 2-2. We've actually got a tiebreaker.
Should have picked that, shouldn't I?
Yeah. I think you'd have got it if you'd have.
Yeah.
Right.
We've only got 2 points each after 5 questions.
That's bad, to be fair. Some of them were a bit difficult, man.
Right, tiebreaker question, right? So, Beth, I'll give you the opportunity to go first because.
Oh, thanks.
Unless you want to go second for the tiebreaker. Do you want
no,
to go
yeah,
second?
No, go on. No, you're all right.
What was the attendance for the FA Cup quarter final between Blackburn Rovers and Millwall?
Is it closest wins?
Yeah, closest wins.
Right.
Obviously, you will guess, and Lewis will probably go higher or lower.
Yeah. I'm going to go 42.
Yeah?
What?
42 what? 1,000?
Yeah.
At home?
It was all 31, wasn't it?
Oh, right. No, sorry. Go on. It was at home, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Right.
What, 42,000 at Den?
No. No.
Spill it out onto the street.
I actually thought it was played somewhere.
What top size?
No.
No. All right. No.
No. I'm trying to plug a number out of anywhere. I'll go 22.
It was shocking, wasn't it? It was
9,000. That your guess?
Yeah.
Lewis wins. It was 8,635
wow.
For an FA Cup quarter final. So yeah, Lewis wins another quarter. You were lucky there, Beth, to be fair.
I read that last bit. About the attendance recently, like in a match report in the game. And I was like, I seem to remember it being full that night. Well, not full, but like,
that's what I mean. I don't know why in my head I thought it would play somewhere else. I can't remember it.
I know we played them first. It quite, then drew 0-0 there and came back here and got beat 1-0.
Yeah.
Right, so that is it. We didn't really speak about any championship results or the league, but then we got Millwall this weekend, so we'll probably analyse all of it after after Saturday's game.
Just a big dissection.
Big dissection of it all, because I'm in a rush. So, right, cheers, Beth, for joining us.
Yeah.
Really good to have you on. And we will see you all next week at some point.
Yeah, see you next week.
In a bit.